My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is your host, Patricia, and today I am sitting down with Tamika Gentles. Tamika is the founder of Tamika G Fitness, the co-founder of The Whole Experience. Welcome, Tamika.
Thank you so much for having me, Patricia.
Absolutely. I'm really excited to kind of get into your personal journey as well as your professional journey, or both as equally as awesome. Everyone, before I give a bio on Tamika, I wanted to give a quick roadmap of today's podcast, as I always do. We will be starting off with Tamika's academic background, followed by questions regarding her professional life thereafter, and then getting into Tamika G Fitness. We will then turn to her business endeavors with The Whole Experience and questions around both of those business endeavors, mainly the who, what, when, where, and why of both experiences. Then we'll drop into the goals that Tamika has for the next 3 years in all of her business endeavors and maybe some personal ones. We will wrap everything up with advice that Tamika has for those of you looking to work with her, get involved, or maybe kind of mirror some of her progress. A quick bio on Tamika before I start peppering her with questions. Since losing 90 pounds 12 years ago, Tamika G has devoted her time to helping others achieve the happiness she has found on her health journey. As a certified personal trainer, she has helped over 900 clients, both in person and online, lose a cumulative of over 10,000 pounds. On a personal level, her journey expands beyond weight loss. Since achieving her physical goals, she's decided it was also time to deeply assess other aspects of her life. She wanted optimal happiness, but couldn't quite pinpoint how she was going to get there. Through extensive reflection, it was obvious she needed to explore the world and find out. So 5 years ago, she picked up her life and moved to Hong Kong. This is where her love affair with travel began. Since then, she has traveled extensively, visiting over 40 countries, soaking in all of the cultures the world has to offer. She eventually left her corporate job to move to Bali to build and scale her businesses full-time. Since then, she has created several online offerings, including ebooks, online coaching, and has launched The Whole Experience Retreat, an all-inclusive week-long health retreat designed to bring up to 14 women together and empower them on their journey to wellness. Being able to blend her two passions, health and travel, into a career is beyond her wildest dreams, and through hard work, she intends to scale this business to the highest possible measures. So that is so fantastic, Tamika. I cannot wait to find out all about it. And I really want to mention to everyone in the listening today that Tamika is joining me from Bali, and I am nestled into San Diego, California. So we are on opposite ends of this earth, and I'm excited to make those two connect with the conversation that will happen in between us. So Tamika, will you take us through your academic background and then kind of your brief professional life after that?
Yeah, so I am the daughter of immigrant parents who moved to Canada from Jamaica, and education was just not a part of their life and their world and their generations before that. So it was a mandatory opportunity for me, kind of living the Canadian dream, moving to Canada. We had to get education, so it was so important. If we got a B, it was, why wasn't it an A? And it was just education was paramount in our household. So as a result, I took it very seriously. Thankfully, I was involved in the arts as well. So I did find that balance growing up, and there's always been that creative element to me. But went to university, did the school thing, went to school for business, because if it wasn't to be a doctor or to be a lawyer, it was for business. And I'm so happy I went to school for business. I went to business school and got my undergraduate degree there, then fell into the corporate ladder at the bottom, made my way up, spent about a decade in human resources and HR.
Oh, wow.
And just continued to climb and thrive. And it wasn't until I probably approached 30 where I started to think to myself, there's got to be more to life than this. Because I was at one point where I was making, and I'm very transparent with numbers. I don't know why as a society we aren't. So I'm someone to just say, this is what I made, just the number.
Yeah.
But I was making upwards of $150,000, $200,000 a year. And those really beautiful jumps that what I thought would be beautiful at the time, was making really nominal changes in my life. And then it just, the real deeper questions started to really surface. Like, what is my purpose? What am I here on earth for? And that's when the evolution began. So 10 years in corporate, I don't take it for granted for a second. It helped me, and I'm a great leader in the work I do today. It helped me to know people because I was in human resources. I know how to work with people. I traveled for work a lot, so I get different cultures, and I traveled around the world for work. So I don't take it for granted for a second. But it definitely is a season of my life that is now over. And I'm now just in a more purpose-driven walk of life.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think that I always want to applaud people in HR. And it's because I myself find the work there so delicate and arduous in any company across all cultures. You know, I put myself through my undergraduate degree working at Nordstrom. And they have like this very prolific HR department and culture, and they kind of bring everyone into it, and it's not just about hiring, firing, benefits, it's about all of it. But it's definitely an interesting area to kind of get your stabilization in business, because you really are looking at the human factor, right?
Exactly.
And how it affects business.
I always joke and say I was destined for this work that I do today, because that's what I chose. When you're in business school, you have all the different areas. You can go into finance, you can go into accounting. And I just literally gravitated towards HR because I loved the human element of it. And in any role I was in HR, it was really around the people. So it wasn't around fire. It was really around growing the people and the morale and all of that within an organization. So that was something that I was really passionate about, even so
How did Tamika G Fitness start to evolve? Was it just one day, wake up, get out of bed, like, that's it, I'm done with corporate, I'm going to develop this fitness, I'm myself, I'm going to take myself on this trajectory? Like, what was the story unfolding there?
So Tamika G Fitness was a side hustle. It was my passion project that I was kind of carrying. I'd gone through a divorce, and the divorce wrecked me. And it was something I could kind of put my energy towards, and it made me happy helping people. I recognized that in my deepest moments, giving back was really getting me out of it. So I started a side hustle. And as you mentioned in the bio, I lost 100 pounds and I had been really active and fit. So people had saw my transformation. I'd kind of started to develop a bit of a social media following. And as a result, I got certified after my divorce as something to kind of push me to and energize me. And that's what I did. I was energized and I loved helping people. So I juggled my human resources work, as well as the side hustle of basically taking on clients. And as a result, I think over 5 years of juggling both, I had like 600 or 700 clients under my belt. I moved to Hong Kong, as you mentioned in the bio. So then I transitioned those clients online, because a lot of my clients were Toronto based in Canada. So I still wanted to help people, and I was in Hong Kong and I wanted to help my clients back home. So I moved my business online to help them virtually. And I was just juggling the two. And then I think when I saw the real power of what the online coaching space could be is when I decided I can make the full transition. And that's what happened.
Yeah, it's a unique time. And I think the past maybe 7 years, I've seen a real transition. Before that, I call them like flagship, you know, people that were at the very beginning time periods. But around 7 years ago, for me at least, looking around the personal fitness world, it really did start to take on this remote, you know, clientele, trainer basis, this coach, and it removed, you know, so many obstacles that I think people had. And then you had corporations, obviously, like Peloton that jumped on top of it and things like that. But I think it really did change people's aspect as to what kind of jobs you could do remotely. I'm wondering, when did you found Tamika G Fitness? Because you were doing it in transition with your HR work. Was there a year that you remember being like, I'm founding it this year?
Yes. Just going back in the memory bank, because it feels like so long ago. There's been so much growth since then. I would say, so 2013 is when I went through my divorce. And that was when I got certified. So call it 2014 is when I started to kind of make things official.
And you had so much work before that too. It's another kind of flip-flop of how people, you know, look at starting a business. And I think that people overlook sometimes when you kind of endeavor into these areas where you're just your only single employee for a moment. It's a little bit different from other startups, but all of the, like, the pillars and the platforms are the same. You know, it's just that you can do things like develop this clientele and things like that before launching heavily into, because I know that you've developed a lot of structure, and from this you've got like the retreat experience and things like that that clearly grew out of this. But it's interesting to hear you say that, you know, you had hundreds of clients by the time you made this transition to Hong Kong. Did you ever take funding for it, or did you always just have kind of just yourself as your own personal brand as a trainer?
Always myself. I've never gone the funding route. I think being in business, I kind of saw the negative sides of it. And I mean, this stuff definitely still something that can happen in the future, but I've just always been more of an organic grassroots kind of gal, and we've been exceptionally successful doing it that way. So maybe in the future, but not yet.
Okay. What took you to Hong Kong? Was it HR business, or was it personal training?
It was HR business. So after the divorce, and I did about a year of personal training and living in the divorce, I needed to escape out of complete fairness. And it's the best escape I've done, because it kind of introduced me to travel and the world and all these things. But I moved with my job.
That's amazing.
And that's when I had never even been to Hong Kong. I was like, just get me out of here. I wanted to go. Yeah. It was a lot of shame and guilt associated with my divorce that I wasn't able to feel through there. And Hong Kong led me to the entire world, because prior to that, I had only made like maybe one or two international trips. And now I'm approaching 50 countries. So it's been really an exciting ride. Yeah.
Did you go with an entirely new country, or did you just kind of transfer within the company that you were in? I'm sorry.
Within the company I was in. So there was an international opportunity, and I was like the first person to put my hand up.
Excellent. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So do you still take on virtual clients, are you kind of knee deep in doing what we're going to get into next, which is the whole experience?
No, I still take on clients. I got 8 right now. I do coaching groups now. So I take on small intimate coaching groups, the power of womanhood, sisterhood together. I've just really started to feel into that. So while everybody's kind of coached individually, we now bring them together in a beautiful sacred container where they are sharing goals and sharing experiences, and it's still all virtual. And we run those coaching programs 3 to 4 times a year.
Yeah.
And they've definitely evolved. They're module based. It's a full on course. I've just put everybody in a container to be together.
Right. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering with when you come at what, and certainly your own brand gets into minutia that we couldn't cover here, but when you look at fitness, how much of that is based on diet, exercise, you know, spiritual clarity, mental harmony? How many factors do you look at? How do you break it down? Does it include all of them, or do you specify just looking at one? How does that work?
So yeah, we're definitely a holistic approach business. And I say we because I brought in a business partner and some staff to help, but we're a holistic approach. So we're very fortunate to be very structured in our program right now, but the first 25 to 30% of the program, regardless of the length we're taking on, is focused strictly on foundation and mindset. So it talks about spiritual clarity, a lot of introspective work, a lot of reflection, and really just getting that core, because at the end of the day, we realize, and this is the bio that you read is a little bit old. I'm at now about 1,200 clients, and I've worked with 1,200 women intimately.
Wow.
You kind of start to realize that everybody knows what to do, right? You know to eat well, and you know to move your body. There is a very big gap in everybody's process that hasn't been identified, and a lot of it is the spiritual and mental work. So we start there. So before we give any kind of food advice or movement advice, which we do, the first 25 to 30% of every program is strictly focused on the mindset.
I feel like that carries over into some of your old stomping ground as well. HR has gotten very into, you know, kind of this like, and different companies are more brazen than others, but this kind of meditation room, like these open silence areas, that kind of reaching into the mind first, as far as the work-life balance or, you know, the health and happiness of the employee. I think that a lot of people from all facets of like business and health and coaching and everything are starting to realize that the brain and kind of getting into that area is not only included, but maybe somewhere to start with. It's an interesting
Completely.
Connector.
The World Health Organization just actually classified burnout as an official thing. So it is a disease. I don't know if they classified it as a disease, but it's an official thing that the World Health Organization, so now all organizations, at least in the HR world, because I'm still a little tapped into it, they're frenzy. They're maneuvering programs and they're kind of, they're really taking it seriously. And I was on the tail end of that because I was just in HR about 4 or 5 years ago. So it was beautiful. I was part of a lot of employee morale, engagement, wellness. So that was a piece of the work I did. And I love the transition now that I'm able to take that into what I do.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you were a little ahead of that curve as well. So when you transitioned, so the whole, how did the whole experience come about? I know you co-founded it with somebody else, but what was it born out of?
Oh gosh, born out of beautiful, serendipitous, divine intervention, which is just, it's the best story. So I love telling it.
Nice.
So I moved to Bali to build it, the coaching programs. And initially the thought process was to go into the evergreen automation model. And I was going to get on the forefront of all of that because this was about 3 years ago when it was still quite fresh. So I moved to Bali to do that. Bali was a very strategic approach because it's affordable and you get a really beautiful high quality of life. And I really didn't want the bottom line to have to be a driver in anything I did because I really wanted to be truly heart-centered. So I moved to Bali so I could do that and live off savings pretty easily. And I happened to be in Bali and I had been to Bali about 4 or 5 times prior, but strictly for vacation. But living here was quite different. I recognized it was the retreat capital of the world. And I was looking around at all the retreats because I was here and I just realized, you know, this retreat is very linear. These retreats are very linear. You know, where do women like me, where are they represented? Where are women from different backgrounds, demographics, colors, sizes, ages? Like, where is the retreat for all women? And I didn't see that. It was very linear. It was all very yoga centric and very just, I didn't feel like I belonged in those retreats and I'm a fitness professional. So I was thinking to the poor woman who's like a soccer mom and wants to do a retreat, like where's a retreat for her? So as a result, I built it and it was just supposed to be a one-off thing because I was being in the virtual world and being online all the time can be quite isolating. So I was really craving to get my hands wet and do something very, just get my hands dirty in something. So it's just supposed to be a one-off retreat business. So I started kind of putting pen to paper. And about a week after I kind of decided that it was what I wanted to do, the one missing piece was like a really strong yoga mindset coach to come along with me because I am historically more focused on fitness and nutrition. So I wanted that balance. And sitting in a cafe one day in Bali, a beautiful girl asked me what my salad was because we were just talking as solo travelers. And that was a week after I kind of decided I wanted to do this retreat, she turned out to be my business partner. She's nice. The most amazing soul. She's been a yoga, her mother is a yoga instructor. So she's literally been a yogi since she was like 2. And she just understands the balanced holistic approach. We've been traveling and building this now retreat business. It was supposed to be a one-off. We've now been building it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's now multiple six-figure business and it's beautiful and amazing. And it all happened in Bali, which is just serendipitous.
That's
born
cute.
And bred. We were in the napkins, writing our business plans on napkins in coffee shops, and it's really blown up to be something. And the real ethos behind it is a retreat for all women. So come one, come all, regardless of your age, your size, your background. If you love wellness, if you want to understand the holistic approach, you want to see the world, we're the retreat for you. And that's kind of how we pitch it.
Nice. When was it? So it was founded around 2017. It was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we just approached 2 years. So 2 years and 10 retreats we've done. Mm-hmm. And we've operated in, started in Bali, then we moved to Thailand, then we went real bold and went to South Africa, and we've moved to Colombia. We did Europe this summer, so we did Italy and Greece, and now we're back in Bali, just ran one in Bali, and we're heading back to Thailand next month to do 2 more.
Will you continue oscillating the destinations, or does it depend on where you guys feel it would be best situated then, or will it always be like South Africa, then Thailand, then Bali, like, you know, in an order?
We'll have our favorites. So So we'll have the ones that we return to, but we always want to remain relevant for the clients. So we'll definitely throw in one or two new ones each year. But we have the ones that the reason why we kind of did so many was because it was really an opportunity to learn the markets, understand the markets. We now know the markets that work for us. And then we'll introduce one or two new ones every year for sure. And now the real question.
Go ahead.
I was say the real question is now, like, where do we do the handoff? Is it something that we then franchise? So we're having those real bigger kind of 3 to 5 year questions now. But in this space, we just love being there for the women and traveling the world and being nomadic and having fun while doing it. So, yeah.
There's a lot of logistics involved. So my question now, turning kind of more toward the business aspect of it, I'm wondering if you kept the setup as the 1 week kind of retreat and health, you know, regeneration, or if you expanded it or changed that timeline for the different countries. And there is a lot of, like, if you don't have contacts in South Africa, there's a lot of communication and research, you know, you're going to have to do to find these centers and things like that. Who was the one spearheading that? Were both of you kind of just like, let's do this? Or was it something that if you learn how to do it in Bali, you can do it anywhere?
So the program remains the same. It's a 1 week program. We haven't deviated away from that. We're very much about kind of staying in our lane and doing what works. And just people then know what to expect when they come to us. It's not this constant changing game, at least not yet. We were really big on building the brand and building it as like a staple in somebody's travel schedule each year. And then as far as the operations go, so the logistics and the communications, we're both avid travelers. By the time we connected, we'd both kind of been to about 20-ish countries. We're both living nomadic. So navigating different cultures, different ways of working, it's kind of what we've done. We never just hop into a country we haven't been to. So we go to a country that we've been to and know somewhat intimately and have connects there. But I would say we both have our genius zones. So my zone of genius is definitely the branding, the marketing, getting the word out there, web development, working with the face of the brand. And then my business partner's zone of genius is really in the operational aspect. So she's the one on the spreadsheet. She's the one dealing with the vendors, and we obviously have support as well. So we make it work. We stay in our zones of genius, but I think a lot of the reason why we've been able to do it so well is because of our avid travel background.
Did you guys have a mentor when you were first starting off a couple of years ago? Did you have people that you looked towards, or was it just kind of bootstrapped, even knowledge wise, just learn by yourself, figure out what you needed and implement it?
It was the latter. We had reached out to two people and we didn't really love the energy that was received. A lot of fear and a lot of this won't work because, and I mean, it's a very unconventional business model, so I get it, but it just didn't work for us. And we're very much women who, we actually have the same birthday. That's one of the things that kind of connected us when we first met in that cafe. So we're very similar. We kind of just thought to ourselves, no, we're going to try it. And if we fail, then that's going to be an awesome lesson learned and a great ride. But we didn't want the fear that was coming from people. So it was a very intentional decision to learn from the grassroots. And that's what we did.
It worked.
And now 2 years. Yeah. 2 years later, now people are coming to us asking how we do it. And it's just as beautiful. We're now able to kind of lend a very positive spin to the work we do.
It's amazing. Your growth, without hearing exact numbers, it sounds like it's been off the charts, you know, with any endeavor across the world, including retreats. And I know retreats can go well, but from what the sound of what you've done, yours has gone so extremely well. When we look forward to goals that you have for the next 3 years, you mentioned having these more, you know, in-depth conversations of, do we franchise? How do we grow that? Do we want to grow that? Have you guys come to any consensus at all about, like, what will definitely be in the works for the next 3 years?
No. We haven't come to consensus. It's a lot of whiteboarding. I think what we've always done and what's been consistent in our approach to any kind of change is it heart-centered? Is it what we want to do? The answer, that's the first and foremost. And are we giving back and are we living in our purpose? Because that's something we're both very adamant about. And now as we kind of approach our mid-30s, we're asking ourselves, well, what do we want our life to look like? Do we want to be moms? And I have a partner right now and he's incredible and very patient with my lifestyle. But I mean, it can only be sustained for so long. So the question remains, what do we want our lifestyle to look like? And then how can we make the business still heart-centered, still serving to women, but really kind of mold into the lifestyles that we want to move to? So those are the more deeper questions we're asking ourselves right now. And then we'll transition the business to make it work. I'm not concerned about it. I think we have options, which is beautiful. We're at the stage now where we put out a retreat and it sells out like that. So we have a brand, we have all the things in place. Now it's just really deep questions that we have to ask ourselves, but what a good situation to be in. So not for a second do I ever complain about having these discussions. It's exciting times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wonder, so with someone who has your personal history with what I imagine is either a developing or changing or maybe just one specific model that works well for you, but losing 90 pounds, you know, 12 plus years ago, it must have given you a deep relationship with goal setting and yourself and maybe even how those two navigate one another. Do you ever find that your relationship with goal setting has changed since that time period? Or am I wrong? Was the 90 pound weight loss not developed in goal setting, or how did that work? And how does it speak to where you're at now and where you're transitioning into?
That's a great question, because it's changed dramatically. I used to be the person who would have the 2 to 3 year plan down to a pat, all the goals, not only with weight and health, that was definitely one aspect, but a lot of it now, especially as I entered entrepreneurial and I knew I was going to transition into full-time entrepreneurship, goals around finances and goals around the targets you wanted to hit, all goals centered a lot of the decisions I made. And I've since transitioned into a lot more grace and compassion, a lot more trust in what is meant to be will be. So a lot more of my spiritual journey has grown incredibly in the last 2 to 3 years. I've been traveling full time. I've seen the world a lot deeper than I think the average person has. So my scope and perspective has just changed tremendously. To whereas now I'm very much trusting in what is meant to be will be. Of course, we're going to have goals and going to have vision, but the questions are a lot different. So again, is it heart-centered? Is it aligned? Is it what it is we kind of want out of our lives? And it's less about the numbers, less about the actual pragmatic targets, and more really about the work we do and who we want to be in the world. So it's very different. And I'm happy with that change.
Yeah.
A lot more compassion to what the work I do.
You've clocked a lot of miles to get there too. You know, I mean, you've literally traveled the globe in search of that. So that's amazing. So I'm curious, if you ran across a young woman or a non-binary individual tomorrow who said, listen, my folks immigrated to Canada when I was young, and I grew up there, and I got my business degree, and I went into HR, and I did great. I learned a lot. It wasn't a waste, but I've been there 10 years. I'm leaving now. I just got out of this relationship. I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to start some entrepreneurial efforts. What are the three pieces of advice you would give that individual?
Yeah. So I'm a very big believer on being on your own. So I would tell that woman to go and just be in a space where she can receive messages. I think there's just so much noise in our society where we just are so conditioned. We don't take the time to simply be still and receive. So one of the spaces in my journey that I left out is I did take about 3 to 6 months to not do anything. And I traveled Europe. And it was just me and my suitcase, and I traveled. And it was beautiful, such a beautiful time, because the message was so clear, and Bali essentially pulled me in and called me. Mm-hmm. But had I not given myself that space, I don't know if I would have heard that message. So space and time. Another thing I would give that woman, as far as advice, because I see it as kind of talking to myself 5 years ago, with just compassion and grace. I think coming from an immigrant household, you have this insane pressure that's, again, conditioned. You just want to do everything your parents didn't do. They did so much to kind of get you these opportunities, and you feel this insane pressure to succeed and be. And again, just giving them compassion and grace. And then the third thing I would say is, I mean, I know it's so cliche, and I know we hear it probably daily, but I'm going to continue to push this message. We got one life to live. Do what you want. Do what brings you joy. You can monetize anything, especially in this day and age. Let's capitalize on that amazing opportunity.
Right.
And I would just tell that woman to, like, really quiet the space, have some compassion, and find what it is that you love, and just do it.
Nice.
I think I've really connected to some kind of stoic mentality, essentially, and just that, like, life is not guaranteed and things can happen, and it can feel morbid at times, but it's reality. And right. I just don't take a day for granted anymore.
That's excellent. So be in a space and time where you can receive messages, continue with compassion and grace, and do what you want to do. I like those. Mm-hmm. Those are very, it's funny because they feel, both simple and very, very difficult. I think that you could sit for a couple of hours with each one and apply it to yourself, you know, in all of the different areas and facets that we all function in, and come up with some different and interesting answers. I really appreciate that. Well, I'm going to turn around and follow up with you in a year, because I can't wait to find out what's going to be happening with your own personal experience with Tamika G Fitness, as well as the whole experience. I think that the retreat and what you guys are doing sounds fantastic. And for everyone listening, before I let Tamika go, you can find Tamika G Fitness at TamikaG.com. That's TamikaG.com. And you can also look up the whole experience at thewholeexperience.org. So, but Tamika, thank you so much for taking the time out of your wonderful wildlife in the background morning. I really appreciate it. It was so awesome talking with you. I know you're busy, and I really appreciate your time.
Of course, it's my pleasure. I hope the message was received. That's
absolutely. And for everyone listening, happy October. We're wrapping up our nod to our salute to women, health and wellness, as well as the acknowledgement of Women's Breast Cancer Month. And until I talk to you next time, thank you for giving me your time. And remember to always bet on yourself. Sláinte.